Amen. When you find your place, Ephesians chapter 1, just one verse tonight. Ephesians chapter 1. In verse number 7. Amen. When you find your place, get the Word of God and stand with me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Do a little bit of review and then we'll get into our lesson tonight on redemption. Second lesson on redemption. I think we'll just do three. Otherwise, we could just keep on going and going and going and going. There's so much in just this one verse that's such a blessing. Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at verse 7 together, and let's read aloud in unison Ephesians 1, 7. Ready? Let's begin. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. May God add His blessing to His word. You may be seated. Last week, if you have your outline there, we reviewed, first of all, the definition of redemption. The definition of redemption is to ransom, to buy back. Amen. And how important that is, that we understand what redemption is. Secondly, we talked about the qualifications for redemption. Many of you remember that. In the Old Testament, there were three items that could be redeemed. We learned a servant could be redeemed, a wife could be redeemed, and a piece of land could be redeemed. But it had to be by a kinsman redeemer, somebody close in relation. And remember, we looked at they had to have the power to redeem. And Jesus Christ said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again. Amen. And then they not only had to have the power to redeem, they had to have the right to redeem. Jesus Christ took upon Him the form of flesh that He would have the right to redeem us. And then we looked at He also had to have the will to redeem. And we looked at Philippians chapter 2, how Jesus made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so the qualifications for redemption, the definition of redemption. We talked about reasons for redemption. You've heard this before where somebody says, well, I don't need to be redeemed. I'm fine. I'm okay. Well, the Bible tells a different story. It tells how man fell in the Garden of Eden and how man is born in sin. I hate to tell you this, but those beautiful little grandchildren that you love so much, wicked sinners. That's what they are. Amen. No, not mine. Amen. Well, let me just tell you, I've got three little wicked sinners at home, and they're called Eric, Luke, and Katia. Amen. And they were born that way. Amen. But also, not only that man fell and man was born in sin, but man is unable to free himself from the bondage of sin on his own. Why? Because we're dead in trespasses and sin, and a corpse can't do very much, and all God's people said, I can't do it, but thank God that man is also infinitely loved by God. That's a reason for redemption, that God loves us with an everlasting love. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, I think it's verse 4, but God for His great love wherewith He loved us. Amen. So we talked about that there in the definition of redemption, the qualifications of redemption, and the reasons for redemption. Then we looked lastly at the compensation for redemption, and that was simply this. Redemption was by blood. By blood. Through the Old Testament, by blood. The Passover, not without blood. The Day of Atonement, not without blood. Amen. All things by blood. And Jesus Christ Himself shed His own precious blood for us. And we ended with that quote by old Oliver B. Green, great radio preacher. This is Oliver Green, amen. And he said this, salvation's free, but it's not cheap. Amen. It's not cheap. It costs the precious blood of Christ. So today, let's examine four things today in regards to redemption. First of all, the past of redemption. Number one, the past of redemption. And if you would, hold your place there in Ephesians, and then let's go over to the little book of Titus. That take a right turn at Ephesians, and you'll go past Philippians and Colossians, and you got both of the Thessalonians and both of the Timothys. And then you have the little book of Titus, 3-chapter pastoral epistle, great book of the Bible. Titus chapter 2, and I'm just going to go ahead and read, and if you don't catch up, that's okay. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity." Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Ladies and gentlemen, did that happen in the present, the future, or the past when Jesus gave himself for us? Okay, all three, yes. But in this case, when did he give himself for us? 2,000 years ago, that is in the past. Okay, so there it says, who gave himself for us. Speaking about past tense, there was a day when Jesus Christ was crucified in the past. Amen. And so Titus 2, how about 1 Peter chapter 1? Keep going right there. You'll go past Hebrews and then James. And then right after that is 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're talking here about the past of redemption. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. I'm in James. I knew I shouldn't have brought a new Bible up here. Amen. The pages are too sticky. Amen. It says, "For as much as ye know that ye were redeemed." Is that what it says? I'm sorry. Just making sure. "Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Okay, "for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but incorruptible." That word "were," is that a past tense or present tense? Past tense. Were. It happened. Blank line underneath the past of redemption. Our redemption is already complete in the mind of God. It's already done. Okay? Complete. But for us, that deal in time and space, we're talking about the past, that Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago died on the cross for our sins, okay? Secondly, not only the past of redemption, but the present of redemption. Go back there to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And the first part of the verse dealt with the past, but the second part of the verse deals, number 2, with the present of redemption. Not only the past of redemption, but the present of redemption. Titus chapter 2. In verse number 14, it says, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Okay? The present of redemption. What do we see? We're talking about redemption, what God has done for us, how he has redeemed us. It's already complete in the mind of God, but our Lord Jesus has granted unto us eternal redemption. Okay? Blank line there under number 2. From the penalty of sin. We are eternally redeemed from the penalty of sin. You know what that means? Listen, if you are here tonight and you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is nothing that you can do to unsave yourself. You are saved, and you are saved eternally. You are redeemed, and you are redeemed eternally, okay, from the penalty of sin. But God also gives us resources to help us live victoriously in the present and conquer the power of sin. Not only are we redeemed from the penalty of sin, but if we could say this, that's one day going to be the sweet by and by. But God in the nasty now and now gives us the power to live for him and live in victory. You know, we don't have to just spin our wheels all the time and live from defeat to defeat to defeat to defeat. God said he'd give us power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Amen. And so that's what we're talking about here in the present of redemption. Number 3. The production of redemption. What does redemption produce? Or blank line there. What are the results of redemption in the believer's life? And I'd like to do what we call a verse chase here. Amen. And that is, find these verses. We got them in order. So if you go back to the book of Isaiah, some would call this a topical study on redemption. And I think it certainly is that. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 10 through 14. And many of you remember, these are beloved verses, particularly verse 10. Verse 10 says, of Isaiah chapter 41 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be nothing, as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord thy" what? Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. What do we see first of all about redemption? What is the result of redemption? It delivers us from fear. It delivers us from fear. He says there, fear thou not. Why? Because I'm your redeemer. I'm your redeemer. I'm the one that will fight your battles. Thank God for that. If you go over just a page there, it's Isaiah 43, verse 1, also on that line of delivering us from fear. It says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have" what? "Redeemed thee." Amen. Listen, if you're a Christian here tonight, you don't have to fear hell. You're not going there. Oh, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, 2 Corinthians 5 says, but not you. You're not going to go there. Why? Because you've been redeemed. Amen. Secondly, number two, Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, verse 11. Isaiah 51, 11. It says, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away." Boy, that's going to be a good day. Amen. Hallelujah. Number two, it not only delivers us from fear, it brings joy. Redemption brings joy. It's supposed to. Some of us need to let it break out on our faces a little bit. Amen. If let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Redemption, it brings joy. It delivers us from fear. Now we're into the New Testament. Go to Romans. Romans chapter 3. As I say at our house, last one there is the rotten egg. Amen. Romans chapter 3. And by the way, it's always daddy. So there. Amen. Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 24, number 3. It says, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know what? It brings justification. Redemption, the fact that God redeemed you, brings justification. And that is simply this, as easily defined as this: God looks at you just as if you never sinned. What it means to be justified, it's a judicial term. It doesn't mean not guilty. It means totally cleared, totally innocent. Amen. Amen. Justified. Number four, we looked at this one on Sunday, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And we talked about the stewardship of self. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price." That's redemption. "Therefore glorify God and in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Number four, it transfers ownership back to God. Redemption does that. You don't know this, but before you were saved, you were a child of the devil. Are you talking to me, Pastor? I'm talking to everybody who's drawing breath. Before you and I were saved, we were children of the devil. Children of disobedience, children of wrath, children of woe. And then when we got saved, we got redeemed, and it transferred ownership back to God. Now let's live like it. Huh? Let's glorify God in our body and our spirits, which are God. Number five, Galatians chapter 4. Just over a few pages, Galatians chapter 4. And verse number 4 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Number 5, it ushers in adoption. All the rights and privileges are adoption, come from redemption. It's amazing how they all intertwine. Amen. All these beautiful doctrines of the Bible, they intertwine. Redemption ushers in adoption. We get all the rights and privileges of adoption. Number 6, right in our text in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." It imparts forgiveness, number 7. Or 6, I'm sorry. It imparts forgiveness. It imparts forgiveness. We looked at Titus 2:14 twice already here, so I'll just quote it to you there. It talks about how redemption purifies. It purifies. Okay? And redemption will do that. We'll purify in our life. God will use it to purify us. "Everyone that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure." There. Number 8, Revelation 5:9. Revelation 5:9. Lord. Right on time here. Revelation 5:9. It says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." And I love that verse. I love that verse. Missions. If you've been given to missions for 1 year, 10 years, or 50 years, you've had a part in reaching somebody of every kindred and tongue and nation. But the verse there, it enables us to sing heaven's theme. Redemption does that. It enables us to sing heaven's theme. Number 8. So it delivers us from fear, it brings joy, it brings justification, transfers ownership back to God, ushers in adoption, imparts forgiveness, purifies, and enables us to sing heaven's theme. And then lastly, if we could, the prospect of redemption. The prospect of redemption. Go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 23. We'll end with this verse tonight. The prospect of redemption. We not only have the past of redemption, all that's been taken care of by God and in the mind of God. We have the present of redemption, what it does for us here, or the benefits that we have. We have the production of redemption, what it produces, the results. But one day we have the prospect of redemption. And that's Romans chapter 8, verse 23. And it's talking, verse 22 talks about how the whole creation groans and travails in pain together. Why? Because it's cursed, and God promised that one day He was going to lift that curse. And you know what day it is? Redemption Day. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30 says, but Romans 8:23 says, "And not only they," talking about the creation, "but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves." What's that next word? Your favorite word. Waiting. What are we waiting for? The adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The prospect of redemption is this. Hebrews 10:37 says this. "He that shall come, and will not tarry." Next time some says, "You know, if the Lord tarries," He doesn't tarry. He's always on time. He's not going to tarry. He's going to be right on time. Last line, like Job, we patiently wait in hope for our Redeemer to come. What did Job say? When everything around him flew apart, he said this, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that His feet shall stand on the earth in the latter day." Hey, you know what? That's the prospect of redemption. The past is all done. It's all dealt with. The present is God gives us power to live for today because of redemption. But the prospect is this: one day he's going to come and complete the transaction. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your redemption. Oh, Lord. Lord, it's just so rich and so full. Help us, Lord, as redeemed, even as Psalm 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Help us to glorify you in your body, in our body and in our spirit, which are yours. They belong to you. You bought them. Lord, please bless us tonight as we dismiss. Lord, thank you again for these precious people. Care enough to be out on a Wednesday night. Lord, I pray that you'd please bless those that have heavy burdens tonight. Lord, thank you that we can always take them to the cross. Lord, bless tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. How about 329, Miss Robin? How about page 329? Amen. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Amen. 329. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Let's stand. Amen. We'll sing just a verse and then we'll be dismissed tonight. 329. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Sing it on that verse now. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Amen. Thank you so much, church, for being out tonight in God's house. Look forward to seeing you this weekend. I've got I think it'll be a dandy on Sunday morning and on Sunday night. I'll be preaching on stewardship Sunday morning, but Sunday night I'll be preaching a message entitled The Simple Solution.